This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas, and I am the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting-edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Organifi. If you're into high-performance superfood powder blends to boost your smoothies, then you simply can't go past Organifi. Organifi uses the highest quality plant-based ingredients for optimal health with organic ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar per serving. Not only that, but their products are also very delicious. Visit Organifi.com/boost. That is Organifi.com/boost for 20% off all products. That's Organifi.com/boost. What's up, fam? Lucas here. I want to take a moment to announce a couple of things to all my new listeners on the podcast. Firstly, if you're looking to upgrade your brain function, whether that be through reducing brain fog, enhancing verbal fluency, improving confidence, motivation, drive, or even orgasm intensity, then check out my nootropics course, which can be found on my website at www.ergogenic.health. And you'll see at the top, it will say courses, where you can use the discount code BYB15 to save 15% off. In addition, I also have a sleep optimization masterclass and a testosterone optimization course that can also be accessed on my website. Again, you can use the same discount code BYB15 to save 15% off. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today, I am joined in with a special guest, also joining me in from Melbourne. We've actually known each other for quite some time now. In fact, we probably met maybe 5-6 years ago at one of the early biohacking conferences. So joining me on the show today is Dane Barkley. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Lucas. Awesome to be on the show with you. Thanks for having me on.
So Dane, maybe do you want to let my audience know a little bit about you, your journey, and like how you got so fascinated into sort of biohacking?
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy we've known each other for that long too. It's nuts. A really cool community network we have down here, which I'm really stoked to be a part of. But I guess my journey really, I'd say I've always been health conscious for most of my life. Very fortunate to grow up with parents that sort of allowed me to have that base knowledge to begin with and be like more curious with health. And at the time, it was like the best that they could do and the knowledge they had. I grew up fairly healthy, fairly active. And then I sort of suffered with my own sort of, it wasn't that, looking back now, reflecting, it wasn't that extreme sort of health conditions that I hear a lot of people go through as well. Mine was severe hay fever and sinusitis, and that were like an allergies was definitely my, and still is my sort of Achilles heel or weak point. And so for me, that was, I had to sort of every spring come around, it got worse and worse and worse until my like early 20s. And then it got to a point where I wanted to try like every, I guess medical intervention there really was. So I did like everything from the injections to try to sort of, it's everything that like the doctors would recommend. And so I was at a time I was sort of trusted that, and I just went with the flow of it. And I did everything really. And it got to the last phase, which was the operation. So I had my nose scraped out. And I had like, went under obviously general, and that was that fun. And I had 2 weeks of like a cast as well, as my nose like cracked and scraped out to clear out a lot of inflammation in there as well that had been there for decades. And that sort of, it was very temporary sort of solution to it. So then that got me into like sort of thinking, what else is there that I could actually do? So pretty much got me into the space of sort of the alternative health nutrition area. So I started to look into diet and nutrition. And so I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's some link between inflammation and say food or nutrition. So I started to explore that world. And then I sort of really went further into that world in 2014 when my grandfather passed away. It was like, had a quite a big impact on our family and me specifically. And it activated something inside me to pursue alternative health, sort of holistic health. And so I started out in that world of going to IIN, the Institute of Integrated Nutrition, based in New York. And so they, I went through them and went through, like learned about paleo and Ayurvedic. And I was like, this is so fascinating. So that sort of opened my world up and was like a foundation for me to sort of propel me and step me into the next sort of phase and level. And so I wanted to pursue this professionally. And so I went into the world very deeply. And from there, I went into like the primal health coach training, which led me into the Bulletproof training, which is now Human Potential Institute. So went to 3 different certifications, become one to absorb as much knowledge as I could, as well as like just consuming podcasts and books at like just a sort of velocity and speed. I wanted to sort of gain this information and like sort of make up on lost time. So pretty much that sort of led me, and that has led me through this whole journey to where I am today. Last sort of 7 years of just like intense amount of experimenting and then reading and just learning everything I could really in that space, and just evolving every step of the way in my sort of beliefs and letting go and unlearning and relearning different aspects as well. So that really led me in there. And that's, it's definitely, I feel this is where like what I'm meant to be here in this lifetime doing. And it's just like every day, it's like, it doesn't feel like work at all. It's just like, I just love every aspect of it. As you know, like going to meetups with people that are like-minded and chatting about this stuff is just, it never gets boring. And it's just so much to learn. So it's pretty much that my sort of journey in a nutshell.
Yeah. And for those listening in, Dane's actually doing some really great stuff at the moment. He's got his own business up and running. He's been very passionate into like sort of discovering novel and, you know, useful biohacks, even from the early days. I remember like just seeing some of the content you're posting, but it's funny how like, you know, once, people struggle with their own health issues, it ends up propelling them towards starting their own thing. And so, yeah, man, like hats off to you for actually taking that step forward and, you know, diving into what you're doing today. So do you want to let my audience know, like, what are you focusing on like today?
Yeah. So I guess with my, so 2 aspects that we're really focusing on right now. So one obviously is the Barclay eyewear, the glasses, so the blue blocking glasses. That took me a lot of energy and a lot of last probably 2-3 years now, I think it was, to sort of develop and get them to where they are. And so that has been my focus for previously for the last sort of couple of years was firstly innovating and creating this product that I couldn't find anything else like that out there. And so I really wanted to sort of create something that was so unique that I wanted to wear, that my family and friends wanted to wear, and that others would feel comfortable wearing, that was also effective based off the knowledge I knew about health as well. So a lot of products out there that may look good but not effective, and maybe products that might not look as good but may be effective. So I wanted to sort of marry those two together and create sort of the glasses where I have now. So that took up most of my sort of bandwidth for the last, last few years now, at least, to get that sort of out there. And I'm still doing what I can now, and at a new stage, a new development of research and development for the next phase of that. So that's exciting for us, but also challenging. And where most people would probably be quite complacent or comfortable with the level we are now, because we can confident, like there's nothing else like out there with these glasses. But for me, it's not good enough, and I want to keep improving upon that and innovating, because that's just what lights me up as well. And so that's where we're at with the glasses, the blue blocking glasses at least. And then Indy and I as well, we've been fairly recently at the stage of sort of building out and progressing with our program. So we're specifically focusing on preconception for women and their partners. And so that area is taking a bit for us to actually sort of design our program in a way that can encapsulate our sort of comprehensive knowledge of holistic health. And as you know, there's so many areas. Like if we just go to, say, environment to talk about mold, and then EMFs, and then it just keeps going down this rabbit hole, and then lighting, and there's just, and like, it's just the world of us is trying to encapsulate this into a program that can help deliver it to couples, that help them clean out their, or get like detox and clean their bodies before they have a sort of a child. So we're personally going through that phase right now. So we're going to be documenting our sort of journey weekly on our Instagram about everything that we're sort of going through, and knowing the importance that we put behind that towards bringing a child into this world. So those two projects is what taking up literally all our time right now is the research and development for the new phase of Bikely Eyewear, and building out the program for the preconceptions sort of aspect of things as well.
Amazing, man. Amazing. Yeah, well, I want to share like my early experience wearing blue blockers like many, many years ago. I had the original pair I had was like the UVX ones. I think you also had a pair, right?
Yeah.
So with the, I mean, like I was pretty much wearing them like, you know, starting from like 5 p.m. at like 6 p.m. wearing those UVX around the house. And like even when visitors came over, like they'd see me wearing those ugly glasses. So let's dive into an aspect of health, which is light, that is often neglected. And let's talk about why it's so important to, you know, filter out artificial light, not only blue light, but the other sort of different types of artificial light.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think it's funny because I'm so curious. It's more about human behavior and the ability to, why some believe that to be the case and others just neglect it and just don't actually, for me, understandably, why I have such a deep passion for it. It's just for your audience to have a bit of context, is that my grandmother was blind for my whole life. And so for the last, and she passed away in 2017. And so she never saw us and all her children. She lost her sight within the last, I think it was 30 or 40 years of her life. And so for me, I guess that is deep understanding of the importance of eyesight. And I really sort of valued that in a way. I didn't realize how much I valued it until she was gone. And so much in me, I wanted to be like successful and rich so I can like bring her eyesight back. And that was like my goal for initially in my sort of younger days, early 20s at least. And so that was like the basis of me of like, this not just creating blue blockers and just people wearing blocking light at night and having good sleep. It was a bit deeper than that as well. And having that driver, which is probably what allowed me to drive this moving forward constantly as well and not burn out. So for me, that was I saw the importance of eyesight. I really did. And how much it was a struggle to be without it. And my sort of understanding, like marrying that with my knowledge in the sort of the biophysics space as well. So Dr. Jack Cruz sort of opened my world up to that as well, and seeing the sort of the increased rate of macular degeneration in just younger people and just like worldwide, and marrying that with the overexposure to artificial light and also the underexposure to like say sunlight, natural light. So seeing that and hearing that and sort of marrying that with my sort of experience with my nan is sort of allowed me to realize, okay, there's a problem here. And some people are aware of it, some people aren't, some people don't care. So I felt like it was my sort of place to be able to bring my unique skills and passions to the world to help sort of bring, like, bridge the mainstream almost with like the sort of the biohacking health space, which we've been part of for years. And so it was like, how do I do that? And because as you said, like the UVX glasses was what I started with as well. And I think the most powerful thing with blue blocking glasses and with the lighting is having felt experience with that. And as there's no other way that you can explain that, you can have all the studies in the world to sort of say it works great. And people might have the knowledge. I know plenty of people we speak to, they say, oh, I've heard about blue blockers, but unless you actually wear them daily, nightly, you have that experience of what it feels like to have a really good sleep, to have to have your cortisol levels sort of decrease and allow melatonin to increase. It's like, unless you actually feel that, there's nothing that can really sort of replace that in my belief at least. So for me, it's like I started with UVX and then sort of evolved along the way and tried out so many other sort of aspects as well. And understanding, for me, there wasn't enough just to have a UVX or just to try with the orange glasses. I wanted to really explore the world of like, there's other aspects and it's not just a blue light that comes from the screen, and want to understand there's a whole light spectrum to really discover. And me naturally, my sort of tendency is wanting to explore and want to learn more and deeper about why, and want to know like almost get to the root of it all and understand the actual spectrums of light and how to block them and why to block them and when. And sort of I just went down this whole rabbit hole, and Jack Cruise definitely sort of sparked that interest for me. And I read so many books around that as recommendations, at least. But with the sort of artificial light aspect of it, it was just my felt experience going through that, and then having friends and family sort of experience that as well and hear that. It's like it's anecdotal, it's so powerful. And in this case, because there are limited studies on there are some out there, people can search, but it's more limited than it is to actually study, say, blocking out 550 nanometers from nighttime as well, which is all the blue light and all the green light as well. So that's like, that hasn't been studied yet. And it may be down the track, which would be great to sort of prove what we already sort of know and feel. But for now, at least I think it's definitely at an early stage. And so I think just getting that experience in. So that's why I still recommend for people to get some UVX. They're like, I think $8-$10 or something. So if people don't have any experience in blue blockers and they don't want to invest a ton of money, it's like just, like it's such a little small investment for massive return. And then you can always just upgrade to like, say, yeah, either the Barclays or another brand that you feel comfortable wearing as well and really get that experience.
Mm. Yeah. With my initial experience wearing the UVX, honestly, man, it was one of the most effective sleep hacks that I had. Like at the time I was like, this is simple. All I have to do is wear these glasses at night, and my sleep quality was so much better. And then, you know, ultimately we discussed different sleep hacks and things like that. And, you know, you've spoken about, you know, grounding, even, you know, sunlight exposure first thing in the morning, even sun gazing, which I still do today. But the thing I like about, you know, the pair that you offer is the fact that there's three separate lenses. So do you want to explore why your particular pair are so unique in that regard?
Yeah. So it was based off my understanding and knowledge of light, of biophysics aspects of light and how that impacts, and knowing that it's not just, because I had my, throughout the years learning it all and going to the biohacking space, I learned that, okay, there was the UVX ones, which are orange ones as well. And then eventually to the market, there was the red ones got brought into it, the really dark red ones. And so I was like interested to be like, okay, well, they're the great ones. And then the new ones in the market were like ones with yellow tints or even with like clear tints. And so I was like, oh, this is fascinating. There's like multiple different companies with different like tints. And I was like, this is okay. So I explored that area. And I then actually, just by purchasing them over the years, had like multiple pairs of glasses, which I found so frustrating. Like, and most of them I didn't feel comfortable wearing either. Like there are ones that I'd wear at home. I'd wrap around really dark red ones at home. It looked like some sort of superhero. And for me, I can wear them inside the house, never outside the house. And so outside the house was like maybe my Swannies back in the day. That was like my introduction to wearing something comfortable outside that was tinted. But so my sort of understanding, I really wanted to just discover why that was the case. So I dug in pretty deep and I read a lot. I think it was Jason Lauritsen's work. He's like a researcher as well. And he did a really comprehensive article on blue light, and is probably the most comprehensive article I've read. And that sort of broke it down for me, that based on, as well as Jack Kreese's work and everything else about the spectrum and how important it is to block at certain times, certain spectrums at different times of the day. So with the glasses I've sort of created, I'm like, I want to do one pair that does it all. And so I'm like, well, and then the idea came to me while I was like in research phase as well, was have the clip-ons. And so it allowed me to have almost four pairs of glasses in one that is so much easier to carry around, that sort of meets my, from day to night. So essentially covers all those needs. So essentially for people that have heard of blue blockers out there, there's two different companies. The companies that sell the clear lens blue blockers, so they're the ones that are probably the more mainstream and more popular. So the clear-based lenses, they block out a very small percentage. Some say they block out blue, but they, unless they have a tint on there, you're not really blocking out any sort of like beneficial artificial blue light, that is. So you're really blocking out some violet light. And essentially that's useful, or that's okay for daytime screen use. So that's why for me as a base lens, we included that. For people that wanted to, say, get an introduction to blocking blue light, that didn't want a color distortion as well. So that the benefit of that, it's no color distortion and it's great for daytime computer use, which is awesome. So that blocks out just a very small percentage of about half maybe of violet light. And so you're not really getting into the blue or the green light as well. So that's where the day lens came in. So like researching every other company and what they were doing and understanding the sort of the spectrum analysis, was understanding that up to 450 nanometers was like the range for daytime lenses. So that allowed a bit of like a yellow glow throughout the day. And so that's like a sort of added bonus to sort of the daytime screen use. And so the idea is like the clear lens, which is our base lens, and you clip on, say, a yellow lens, that will give you those two lenses. It will be like, I say, our day lens. And so that would be useful for daytime use in front of artificial light or overexposure to artificial light. So me personally, like, I don't wear my day ones all the time. Like, I'm not wearing mine now. I have Iris installed on my computer all the time, and I'm usually in natural light anyway. And so for me, it's not as big of a sort of a habit to create, or even to, as necessary as it is then to wear them from sunset onwards. And so that's where the last two lenses, the dusk and the delta lens, the orange and the red ones, are actually come into play. So they're actually beneficial from sunset onwards. And so people can interchangeably wear them as they feel comfortable. So we find the orange ones might be more popular to start with, and they'll block up to 500 nanometers of light, which is all the blue light completely. And then I think it's like a very small portion of the green. And then the red one comes in. So the up to 550 nanometers is all the blue light and all the green light. So that has been shown in, I think it's very limited studies still, it's been shown to be the most amount to, or the most blue and green light to be the most detrimental towards melatonin secretion at nighttime. So for me, it's like, for most biohackers, it's like, great, straight to red, like up to 550 nanometers is like, just go straight there. Like, why would you go less? Like, whereas some people want less, like, based on whatever, like personal preference. I've had a few customers or clients say they've red's too dark for them. I'm like, that's fair enough. And then we're actually developing some new lenses anyway, that I'm redesigning a few things with the new sort of Barclays that are coming out. And so we're going to sort of blend those two together. So it's going to be just a day and a night lens in the future pairs that are coming. And so, but that would be blocking. For me, it's like 550 nanometers, like the sweet spot. Any darker, it gets really difficult to be able to see. I think most suppliers won't even allow that because it starts to get just distorts vision too much. So 550 is like the sweet spot that we've sort of learned in that sort of health space, at least to block. And then daytime use, it's like, yeah, it varies significantly based on your environment. And so if you're in a fluorescent building for, I don't know, 8, 7, 9 hours a day, then, and you're in front of like a bright screen or two screens with no iris installed, then it's like, for absolutely, like daytime blue blockers would be necessary. But I think if you can adjust your environment to that, I don't think it's as necessary as it is from, say, nighttime. So at our house, we're always wearing our Barclays from sunset onwards, because our lighting there, we use minimal lighting, but because we're renting as well, we still have some warm lighting in the kitchen, as we like to have just one light on there, but we wear our blue blockers. And if we're watching, watch a movie, or if we want to be on phones, then there's no disruption towards our circadian rhythm and also our melatonin secretion as well. So no issue at all ever falling asleep, really. Unless it's like some, I don't know, a bit of stress from work or business that may be prevent that. But otherwise, I think it's really important for people to understand that the nighttime aspect of blocking blue light is definitely a more priority than it is for daytime.
With your Barclays, I'm wearing just the darkest lens all the time, like from 6 p.m., sort of 6 p.m. onwards. I've got a funny story to share about that, actually. And if Beck's listening into this podcast, she'll remember this. I was late at night, 9 o'clock. We wanted to leave the house, get some food. I got in the car, had the darkest lens on. And honestly, man, I accidentally went through a red light because everything literally, for those listening in, those lenses are super dark and they're basically red, right? Like they block out almost all spectrums of blue and green light. Is that right?
Yeah. 550 nanometers is what it is. We're redesigning that so they're going to have more visibility, so not going to be as dark. And so the sample ones that I've been testing now are actually, it's like a married of orange and red. It's like a sort of a dark orange, the color, which would be now with a new lens that we're working with here. We're bringing manufacturing here to Australia. And so that's going to be a different lens, a new Japanese technology that's going to have this, it's like it's a really high tech sort of technology, and then we'll like sort of marry those two together so it still has the visibility, because those red ones are hectic and they're great. And that's why it's like we can't legally recommend anyone to wear them outside of the house, so driving the car. Whereas the day clips are perfectly fine for nighttime driving, and even really the dusk clips, I've had experience with that, not too bad. You can still see the lighting and the traffic lights, but the red ones are, I know. I've definitely felt that experience. I'm actually driving up the mountain to our house here at times, I wear the darkest ones, obviously, all the time too. So I have to have them sort of down on my nose a bit to look over the glass to see that, to make sure that I can see the road, because it's very dark up in the mountains where we live. And so, and sometimes it's foggy. So, I mean, not the safest thing in the world. I don't recommend that to anyone. But if you're like a daredevil like us, then maybe you're a real hardcore biohacker. It's like experiment yourself and see what happens.
They are the most effective though. Like from a sleep perspective, honestly, if I put them on at like 6:30, by 8:30, 9 o'clock, if I go outside, do a little bit of earthing and then come back inside, I am ready to sleep. And I fall asleep so quickly when I wear them. And they're just so effective, man. They're just so effective.
They are. It blows my mind that how people can still not know about them or not wear them consistently. It's such the lowest hanging fruit in terms of just like as a foundation, just like there's so many, as you know, so many other layers to like sleep as well, and like grounding as well. And even morning light is really important to anchor that as well. And so for me, it's just like, it's a no brainer and but it's a habit building sort of foundation too. So once you do it long enough for whatever period of time that is to make it a habit, then that's it. And so for us, it's like, we're really fascinated with human behavior and how to build that habit for people, because once it's in, it's in. Like if we go without blue blockers now, it is like we're in just another world. Like, oh, it's like burning, like look at the sun, for instance. And like, it's just such a weird foreign feeling. But we're rarely without our blue blockers at night, because it's a habit. It's like it's part of us now. And so, yeah, it really is hard to sort of fathom that people still haven't had that experience and to what it's like to have a really good sleep as well. And most people are aware, I think most of your listeners are aware too, like how important lighting is as a cue for sleep. And it really is one of the biggest ones it is, because allowing us to sort of block in the light at night allows us, is this what our ancestors done, is what we've always done as humans, is being like at nighttime when the sun sets, is we're exposed to very limited light. It's either starlight, moonlight, firelight, candlelight. That's really all we were exposed to for thousands of millions of years. And so it's only recently we've been like being introduced all this artificial light and bombarding us. And so it's showing up in so many ways, and it's like manifesting diseases as well. But for sleep, just as simple as that, for people to get quality sleep, is wearing consistently high quality blue blockers that block out all the blue and green. And you wear it consistently enough to your body will start to reset your circadian rhythm. So if you wear it, I know some people might wear it occasionally, then it might not wear it a few nights, and others wear it. Like that's not really going to allow their body to actually allow it to get a deep reset and to be able to actually find, like you said, like this, like your body's like the routine is just like dialed in. You probably find naturally most people as well wake with the sun or arise with the sun or be somewhere similar in that sort of time frame at least. And so, and that will happen naturally as you sort of block artificial light at night, your body will reset itself in the circadian and we'll find your natural circadian rhythm, which will vary per person as well. So some may be more early risers, some late risers, and that's based off so many sort of different genetic aspects as well. So yeah, it's crazy.
There's a really cool quote. I think it's something like, good sleep starts as soon as you wake up. And that's, I want to explore a little bit around that morning sun exposure and even a little bit on sun gazing. I don't know if you've had much or done much research on sun gazing. I want to share my quick experience with sun gazing in general. Like the days that I do it, when I do it properly with like the sun just above the horizon, maybe like 10 to 15 seconds or so, or maybe a little bit longer. On those days that I do it, there's a massive reduction in appetite. There's a significant increase in like general like positivity and mood, which I'm very accustomed, I'm very in tune with my body in that sense. And generally just feel more vital. So do you want to share a little bit around like sun gazing as like a little intervention?
Yeah, it's great. I definitely had my experience is actually living here at my family home now because we lost power up in the mountains there. So we actually, in the backyard here, was quite frequently, I would have my, I think Ben Greenfield got me onto the really like chunky morning smoothies. And I was like just loading up, like this was years ago, I was loading up morning smoothies with so much stuff, so much superfoods. And then I'd go out in the backyard and I'd ground on no matter what the, ideally when the weather was great, it was like the sun was out. Even if it was like really cold, bare feet, and actually better when it's cold and it's wet and dewy because it's more highly conductive as well for the earth. And so that was great. And then looking at the sun as well in the morning, for me, that varied. Again, like just getting, I could be out there for 10 minutes and looking towards a general direction of it. I could be looking down. It's more like for people that never had that experience before, it's like you didn't have to stare directly at it for like hours or even for minutes, really. It's more just your eyes are in that general direction because the sunlight isn't a direct beam. It's more just like quite a comprehensive sort of light. So getting that exposure to your eyes and to your skin as well. I mean, like I felt the same experience. There's a level of sustained energy throughout the day. And for me, it was a combination of, again, like the blue blockers, I was discovering and learning and reading and listening about all these aspects of, say, sun gazing and the benefits, but I was also experiencing that daily. And so I was, there was a period I went through so much of it and it got, I feel like people can go down this realm as well in the spiritual aspect and how it can open up your sort of your third eye, looking at this sort of, that's where it sort of originated from, is that Ayurvedic aspect of things as well. So the Ayurvedics was huge on like sort of sun gazing. That's what it came from. It's like it's a very spiritual practice as well. As not only is it biologically, like you actually have the, allow your body to actually, it's sort of the cascade of neurotransmitters that comes from that, like dopamine and serotonin, which is awesome, but it's also a deeper spiritual aspect as well. And I got a lot of insight there. I know Paul Check mentioned about this as well. I've heard him speak about this in podcasts a lot about he was like doing it religiously for a period of time. And he wherever he was at like, and it's like it's somewhere like near a dumpster out on like a sidewalk and you want to get the morning sun. And he was starting getting messages from there, from the sun, like incredible spiritual insight. It does depend on certain aspects and where you are. But for me, it was just, yeah, I gained a lot of sort of spiritual groundedness as well. The grounding in the sun was incredible for my body and my spirit. And as well as the fact that exactly, I felt the level of just like throughout the day, this level of clarity. It was never like many, like no energy slumps. And then I had the great sleep at night with the blocking the blue light, obviously. So those two pair together as a great anchor, a lighting anchor. So I learned how important it was to have like a lighting anchor as well. Of recently, because we moved up into Sassafras in the mountains there, it's a lot darker. We're covered by a lot of trees. And so we don't even have the ability to, some aspects in the morning, we can get some morning sunlight. So we'll sort of sneak through the trees and we'll get out there. And we have to squat, we'll get in there, wherever it is, find it. And so we like to grab that and it's really nice. But for other mornings, which is what we've actually learned recently and growing into, we're doing more like the light anchoring. So I'm using the retimer glasses. I think Ben's brought them popularized them like years ago. I've been wearing them for about like sort of 5 years on and off as like a sort of substitute or like a supplement in a way to sort of when it's really dark sort of winter mornings, for instance. So for people that do live in those environments, it's like, that's a really good thing, as well as like a light box, like a flicker-free light box. I think it's so important to have, especially where we are, it gets dark and it gets long days as well. And so for us, it's like a flicker-free light box can help sort of anchor our lighting. It won't replace the sun. The sun's like number one. Where possible, that's obviously the way to go. And then it's like a secondary option. We go for like the light box and the retimer glasses, which shine like a little like blue green sort of light into the eyes and sort of like helps align the circadian rhythm as well, especially useful around jet lag. But for us, it's like we like to get a little blast of light in the morning, not too long, just enough to sort of like allow our bodies to realize and like tell our bodies that, okay, we're in like morning now. Let's like sort of increase the sort of cortisol. Let's decrease melatonin and let's get like the day going. And it's a good anchor, we find. And then obviously the blue blockers are nighttime. So morning light with the sort of blocking the nighttime of the artificial light, I think they're just a powerful combo, really.
Yeah. Yeah. With the flicker free light, I think I've got right now near my desk, I've got like this, it's just like a clip on light that just flicks towards shines towards my eyes. But when I film with my camera, I can see that it's flickering. So is that's technically, even though I can't see it without the camera, that's a flicker light, right?
Correct. Yeah. The best way people can tell is get your phone on slow-mo. And so you go to slow-mo camera and you hold it up to any light. So even like your overhead lights, LEDs, anything to test whether it's flicker, and it will flicker like crazy. That's the way to test really easily whether you have a flicker light, and a lot of lights are. And what that essentially really does is that it just scrambles the brain and makes it very hard to sort of think. It's sort of burn through a lot more energy from the mind as well, because it's trying to interpret the light that's coming in, and it's flickering in a way it's not, it's very unnatural. And so if you watch a candlelight, it's a very natural sort of inconsistent flow of light. And so that's very mesmerizing. And we are naturally drawn to, say, watching a candlelight or even a firelight, which like a fireplace last night is just, you can watch it for hours. And that's because it's very inconsistent. Whereas the flicker is a consistent sort of flickering that comes. And it really, what it does is sort of, it fatigues the eyes and the brain quickly. And so having like a the best test is obviously slow-mo in your camera, and you can see. And so if you have downlights that, and you hold your camera up and they do flicker, we have the downlights in our place are flicker. So we never turn them on. Only if we spilt something on the ground and need to see it. Otherwise it's always off. And so it's a great way for people to test and say, if you've got flicker on, just turn them off. Otherwise trying to find a flicker free alternative. And I think there's plenty out there for people that want to discover that as well.
I'll definitely have to look into that. Cause I thought my treadmill desk setup was ideal. And now that I think about it, and I've seen the flicker, but I've never really thought it's, you know, has any deleterious effects on health. But I'll have to look into certain light therapies there, or set up a fireplace right in front of my desk.
Yeah. Or red light therapy is also really like ideal. Is like number one would be fireplace. It'd be like, cause you get the negative ions as well as like the heat and the warmth, and as well as like so many benefits that come from that. But then again, like red light therapy is so popular these days too in the biohacking space, that's blown up because that does allow some infrared sort of heat and lighting, that which is also very beneficial as well. So you can almost in a way counteract the sort of the negative deleterious effects of the sort of the whiter lighting and put it like a red light in there as well, which sort of helps, sort of balances it out. Hence why so many people's rooms are like red, lit up by red now. So they're quite useful as well. I haven't had a personal experience with them yet because we have the fireplace and we use like candlelight more often, but yeah, that can be quite beneficial.
Now, I know you're someone that also tracks your sleep quite heavily. I'd love to hear about some of your experiments. Like what has been the most effective sort of protocol to optimize your sleep?
Yeah, I've tracked them since I'm still wearing it. It's been years. I wore the little big chunky one back in the day, and I think it's been about four or five years of data now of like every day. It was a period where I did a few months. I did actually take it off for a few months because I wanted just to get more into my body and feel that and what was actually more subjective and less so objective. But now I feel like I've got the both pretty sweet spots, the subjective and the objective combined, which is really important for people. Because objectively, your data can be can be skewed as well. And because subjectively you might feel great throughout the day, but your data's saying you had a terrible sleep. I'm like, well, I feel great. And that's more important than what my data's telling me. So, but it's also great to get that information. So for me, I've done a lot over the years. I've done a lot of mouth taping, earbuds, eye masks. What else? I've listened to binaural beats, whole tones. There's so many magnesium, the acupressure mats. I used to have a really downput routine here when I lived at home. My parents here was I'd sleep on my acupressure mat. I even had my ice packs. I think it might have been you that got me onto this, ice in my balls as well. I'd literally would sometime at night have that on my little ice pack and lying on an acupressure mat. My mouth taped, earplugs in, eye mask in, and then some nights I'd listen to either binaural beats or something that would help me to like sleep phones, I think, as well. It was got out of control for me, and I was so dialed in with like getting like the best sleep. And so that's very different now. Now living with Indy and in our place, it's a very different world, not having to sort of navigate that sort of sleeping with a partner, and which is a very different space. But for me is I've refined it a lot more. I did so much of that stuff and pulled it right back and wanted to really explore what was like the most fundamental. So blue blocking at night is like number one for me. It's like, that's just a foundation. That's just part of what we do now. It's just a habit. And so
what time do you put yours on?
It's literally sunset. And so, yeah, it's so natural now. It's like, well, sunset's 5:30. And so as it goes down, it's like naturally it just goes on. Like it's more of a habit that they go on. And again, I wear the darkest lens straight from 5:30 because I'm like, why not? Like I want the maximum benefit. And then why would I like allow any more sort of light in to maybe disrupt my melatonin secretion at night time? So for me, it's like just, that's so simple. And so that was the foundations of blue blockers for me. And then I've simplified things a lot now these days just because of, for one sort of, I wanted to explore what I can sort of benefit from still with very little, because that's ideal for most people want to do that. They want to spend their whole lives taking supplements and different practices and make it very uncomfortable. So for me, it's like what is sustainable and what's practical for me. And so for me, it's definitely blue blockers, but having an evening routine. And so an evening routine at almost a very similar time every night. And so that is definitely another hard thing to implement as well, because I find morning routines for me are very easy because the trigger is being wake up. And so it's very simple. You trigger to wake up and then you have your morning routine, or you create or do your morning routine, and which is mine is every morning as well. It's important to have that anchor. But at nighttime, it's so hard to find that like to shut off or to actually say 9:30 or whatever time that is to like, so you stop and then start to unwind and allow yourself to go to bed. And so for me, I actually physically put on an alarm on my phone at 9:30. So when that goes off, it's like everything goes away. And then we just allow ourselves to like read in bed for a little bit. And so I've shifted that. I used to read every morning and now I've shifted to nighttime reading. So read our physical books with our red head torches. We diffuse some lavender oil as well. We have a nebulizer. So it actually nebulizes the straight essential oil, no water added at all. So nebulize some lavender at nighttime in the bedroom, which is portable, so it requires no power. The other aspect too that was improved the sleep consistently is switching off the power to the bedroom. So that one there, people may have experience with, but switching off your power points is one thing, but there's still dirty electricity and there's wires through your wall that are still emitting a sort of significant amount of non-native EMF. And so for us, it's simple to have the Wi-Fi router off, or the router off at least if you don't have Wi-Fi, and then to have our power off and to our room, which is like almost like a blackout zone now. So there's no power running through the walls at all. And we then have that going at nighttime. And so now therefore the use of our headlamp is important because that's portable and that's rechargeable. And then we also have the portable rechargeable nebulizer. So everything we have is like, it doesn't require power, which is great. We've like created it in that way. And so for us, the foundation is obviously blue light. The power off to the room is huge. Again, that's free as well. You can have your circuit breaker switch. You go there and you flick off, discover which one's your room, like make sure you don't switch off the fridge at night. For us right now, we have no power and no reception in our house. So it's not an issue probably for the next several days. So sleeping is going to be fine for us the next few days. But naturally, part of our evening routines is flipping off the power, wearing the blue lights, and we've made a custom-built bed frame as well, which is inclined. So I know you've shared this as well on your Instagram, which is great. And it's still really novel and not really that sort of well-known as well. But we have we designed a custom-built timber bed frame with no metal in it whatsoever. And so we had a local carpenter in Melbourne here design it for us and build it for us. And it compacts down and can fit in the car as well. And so we should just patent this idea, because we've done it in a way that he's incredible, this guy's carpenter. So we've done it. So we have three different blocks at different levels. So we wanted to increase it from say 2 degrees to 4 degrees to 6 degrees incline. And so we experiment those levels, and it's also got and it's all timber. There's like no metal whatsoever. So the idea is that it's so important not to have any metal in the bedroom as a conductive towards non-native EMFs as well. So for us, we're like, we've got this design. That's like a foundation. They have a nice timber bed frame, and we've inclined ours up, I think about 4 degrees right now. We did do 6 degrees, but it was, the 6 degree angle was too much for us. It was like, it was too extreme. And so, we found was slipping a fair bit, and that would disrupt our sleep a bit. And so we want to find a sweet spot. So we're at 4 degrees right now. And that's like a pretty good sweet spot for us that allows us to have that sort of lymphatic and glymphatic sort of drainage and flow throughout the night. And, that it takes a while to get used to. For us, definitely there was a sort of adjustment. I had some sort of lower back pain to begin with, and then it's like you start to sort of, your body starts to adjust to that as well. And so having the incline bed, obviously the power off to the room, diffusing essential oil, reading a little bit before bed, maybe like 10, 20 minutes for us, and then having to block in the blue light. They're really like the foundations for us.
Are you mouth taping at all? Or?
Occasionally, yeah. So that's like, I have like a toolbox, and it's a sleep toolbox, and I feel into how I feel like it. So if some nights, say like the night before I woke up with maybe a little bit of a dry mouth, then I'd get the tape out and I'd tape my mouth on. And I'd also, sometimes I'd find, because I do have sinus issues over the years, I have had some problems with like sort of breathing to my sinuses, and I know how important that is than mouth breathing. And so if I was to tape my mouth, I'd also put in a nasal dilator. So there's, I think it's called Mute. I think it is a company, I think the Australian company as well. They comes in and allows the sort of airways to sort of open up. And so they go inside there. And so I have a nasal dilator in there and tape my mouth at the same time. And I do find I have, I think, an increase in REM based off that. But my sleep does vary significantly based off a few factors. So I do notice that I've recently been experimenting with whole tones. Michael Terrell, I think Ben, I might have mentioned Ben Greenfield in his show. I'm not sure where that was from, but I don't know where I discovered it. But the whole turns, I've got the Lullaby soundtrack. It was like seven or eight songs, drew about 30 odd minutes or 23 minutes long. And I've been putting them at nighttime on my old iPhone on airplane mode in the room as well. And so playing that on the timer. And surprisingly, I have noticed an increase of deep, and because they have actually done a lot of sort of work with that and showing the increase in that, but having the actual data to support that, which is great. So I feel great waking up, but it's actually interesting to see the data in my aura when I've been playing that, my increase of deep sleep from listening to the whole tones.
Where's the sound? The sound's coming from the iPhone away from, where's the
Yes, yeah, so iPhone's like at the bedside table. It's my old one. I've installed the soundtrack onto, and so the main phone is like being charged in a separate room. And then this one here is just holds literally the whole tones and some affirmations on there as well. And we have it in airplane mode. The red light functioned on the screen, so like there's nothing on there, and we have it away from us as well. So there's, when your phone's in airplane mode, it's a very little emittance of non-native EMF, very little bit, but as you have it, like the closer you get to, the worse it is. So for us, like from like half a meter away on airplane mode, then it's like there's very little disturbance, if not any at all, for our sleep. But it's been more beneficial with the fact that we listen to either affirmations or whole tones. And I've really been experimenting with that lately and really noticing a difference. And that was quite interesting as well, that one. And then throughout that as well, that same toolbox as well, some we use the transdermal magnesium as well, some activation, spray that in our bodies. We find that's more common through the summer months as well. Winter months, not as drawn to having as much magnesium. I guess it's probably sweating more in the summer months as well. As well as a few other little supplements here and there, like some terpenes. What else have we done? I've had some CBD last night, a CBD vape with the essential oils as well. So just experimenting. It's not so much, they're not the foundation. They're more like a supplement toolbox that I can just dig through and when I feel drawn to it, I wear. But the foundations, what I mentioned before, are really, I think, are really effective for me at least.
Yeah. The nebulizer for the, have you experimented with any other essential oils apart from lavender?
I don't think so. No, I haven't actually. I think I've just been drawn to lavender. I think I've found that quite effective.
There is one that I think would be cool to trial is Idaho Blue Spruce. I don't know if you've heard about that one. Yeah. It's supposed to have like the highest vibrational frequency of all essential oils.
Wow.
Yeah, like 528 hertz or something.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
I've got some here. Yeah, basically it's supposed to be like one of the most grounding essential oils.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Okay, that'd be interesting to try it for sure. I'll get that link from you. I'll send you the link to the nebulizer as well. It's like they had to change the name on that because after the COVID situation, nebulizers now are really like not popular. So they've changed the name to a waterless diffuser because they're just emitting. It's all it is, like you said, it's just like a normal diffuser, but it vaporizes the essential oil and no water. So it's very like more potent. And so, I'll send a link to that as well, which is cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, man, there's so many cool, like, some cool hacks there, man. Like, even some of the things around, like, having the light, the headlamp, you know, shutting off all blue light at night, inclining the bed, that's a game changer. You know, there's so many things. And then obviously you're doing the earthing, like, what, first thing in the morning, is that usually when you do your earthing?
Yeah, it can vary. It can, if we're going for a walk, I wear my earth runners. That allows me to be able to walk and across the plane of the earth and be able to like still connect to the earth with the copper plug there. And so that's ideal. In the winter months, it's not as easy. Definitely with the it's a lot colder up in the mountains and it's a lot wetter as well. So summer months, definitely, I find that naturally, it's almost like I'm following the seasons more too. So if on the summer months, we are outside more, we are grounded more, whereas winter months, we're more inside, more introspective. We've got the fire going. There's a different transition of energies as well. So I feel like grounding is important, but sometimes your environment may not pull for that or may not be possible. So therefore, there's other things that help with that. So the infrared heat from the and the, like the energy that comes from the fire is very different and it's very grounding as well. But for us, it's where possible, we're trying to get out there, whether it's morning, whether it's afternoon for us.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's definitely so many like useful strategies. I like how you've sort of explored, things outside of just simply relying on, you know, various supplements and things like that. Although they really were like exciting and tempting to explore, and they still are, I think what you've shared so far really with, you know, the lifestyle strategies are going to be, you know, very, very useful to my audience. They're going to definitely love this. So tell us what's next. What's next in your world? Like what's on the horizon?
Yeah. So exciting times for the Barclays, the glasses. So they're, I was already, I guess I, because I did create them or innovate them sort of three odd years ago, I got to the space now where I want like a refresh and sort of like a rebranding of that. And so we're in the stages, Indy and I get to be able to build this and create this with Indy now too. It's another creative edge, which before was just by myself and took a lot longer. And so now we're turning to sort of fast track things a lot. And so for the glasses, we are definitely growing that. We're bringing the manufacturing now to Australia, which is, it's going to be very unique. And so they're going to be Australian made. And so there's not many blue blocks or actually any of them in the world that actually will be Australian made as well, manufacturing here. The lenses will be in this new Japanese technology that designed in the same lab as well with our manufacturer here. And so these new frames are also going to be made from bioacetate. And so it's a biodegradable acetate. So Indy's been a huge impact and a huge influence on me and sort of inspired to sort of bring our brand to this whole sustainable eco style, not from a like greenwashing aspect. A lot of people, a lot of companies definitely can see the benefit of that and just want to just jump on that bandwagon. For us, we're genuinely passionate about the earth and we really want to have that impact and where we can see possible and make this as a tighter loop as possible. So everything from the packaging, from recycled craft paper boxes to compostable labels, compostable sort of shipping mailers. We want to have... And we're going to actually streamline the new lenses. So we're going to have a day and a night lens. So rather than having three lenses, bring it down to two, make it more streamlined, shift the sort of the style a little bit, a very small sort of alteration of styles to be very similar to what they are right now. We're still experimenting still with the clip-on aspect, whether we want to have them foldable. There's a high chance you might have them foldable so they can fold down into itself and be even more transportable as well, which is really important for us. It's like practical level of like design and style for us, as well as like materials. So we make sure we source the best materials possible and make sure that they sort of align with our level of like sustainability and also function as well. And so we're trying to source as much Australian as possible. And so most of the packaging will be Australian. There'd be like one or two elements that we'll be sourcing overseas, but majority will be Australian made. Our offices, which is our home, is carbon neutral based off our internet and power supply and everything. Our shipping will now be carbon neutral as well. So we're planting two trees for every order, as well as actually every order as well. They're actually supporting a local, so they actually geolocation based on where the order is, and it'll support a local initiative that's actually helping to sustain. It's a sustainability project as well. So EcoCard is what we have for that. So everything is going to be completely carbon neutral, if not carbon positive, in the aspect of the glasses. And then all the materials will either be recycled craft or bioacetate, biodegradable materials. And so we're trying just to combine everything that we have, our knowledge and passion, into this this new stage as well. So it's exciting times, and that will be the pre-orders, or at least will be coming out as soon as we possibly can. So we're hoping within the next like sort of month or two that will be ready to go and people can actually see that. That will, based off because they are increased as well, they'll be at a higher price. Higher price point, be more of a premium product. So that'll be like sort of break away from the other ones right now. So where we are right now is still like a nice little mid-range one. These would be quite a premium increase as well, but that would be of like the highest quality that we can possibly source, ideally, and most of it from Australia too. And so that was like really exciting for us to create and innovate as well. And so we're really pumped about getting that on the market out there.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm really proud of what you guys are doing, and like, yeah, I'm happy to be supporting you, because like I know how long this journey's taken and how many ups and downs you've had, and it's the typical entrepreneur's journey. Like you go through ups and downs, and like you're at a point now where I think you're starting to scale, and I'm proud to be a part of that, and I'm proud to be supporting you, man, because like I really do believe in your vision and the content you guys offer is amazing. So, I just want to say hats off to you. Hats off to you and Indy.
Thanks. Yeah, a little downtimes, that's for sure, that people don't see, which is really cool. And I know everyone experiences that. You're right. The entrepreneur life, it's like, it really is. There's this a massive roller coaster, and it's a roller coaster with like a blindfold on, that you don't know when those dips will come. You don't know when those highs will come either, but you just committed to that. And for us, it's like just massive integrity, transparency, and we're just committed and persistent through this. And it's like, for us, we know that we will be able to deliver something that we're proud of, but also knowing that this is like others will benefit greatly from as well.
Yeah. So for those listening in, if they want to purchase a pair of blue blockers from Barclay Eyewear, I'll leave them linked in the show notes. I do have a discount code set up. It's Ergogenic10 for those listening in who want to buy a pair. But otherwise, for all other updates and news, Dane, where can people keep up to date?
Yeah, so my personal account, Dane Barclay, and Instagram is more just, it's more like either funny stuff or it might be sort of more relevant to what's going on in the world right now. It's a combination. Barclay Eyewear, Instagram at Barclay Eyewear, is all about the glasses, all about lighting, and we're going to start to build more and share more information in that aspect of things too. And at Live Holistically AU, and that is our one with Indy and myself, and that's where we'll be sharing a lot more content around preconception, around conception, conscious conception, and our journey on that too. So if people want to follow that journey, it's there. So we've got three separate accounts if people want to check out as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure to link them in the show notes. But Dane, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Oh, I appreciate having me on. This is really cool. Really good chat.
Awesome. All right. Cheers.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a No Filter Media production.
Say what you want.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.